calling Blog Talk Radio. I'll be right back. Maybe if my phone wants to work for me.
Live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full-color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast. Today we're talking about tumors, but not a tumor. And in a nutshell, basically anything that's good for cancer would be good for tumors and vice versa. Cancer will be our topic for next week. Anyway, but there are cancer and there are tumor-specific herbs that we can take. On that note, we have less than 10 podcasts left on Blog Talk Radio. So once we're done here, we'll be 100% on our freefoodandmedicine.org website doing our recordings at freeconferencecall.com. It's not actually free, depending on who you're with. I'm with T-Mobile. They charge me one penny per minute. That being said, I got a new Visible phone. I'm testing the waters out with them, which is nice. I got unlimited talk, text, internet, and mobile hotspot tethering for like $25 a month. And they don't charge me to call my podcast. The problem is I haven't got my Bluetooth headset connected to that phone yet. and I had trouble connecting it for some weird reason. Maybe my Bluetooth's not compatible, and I haven't been able to do that. And I'm driving right now. I'm a truck driver. I've been studying this stuff for years. I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I like chocolate and pastries, and I don't always do everything I'm supposed to do. But I've studied this stuff for many moons. David Ray has been studying this stuff for a long time. Our friend David Irish as well. He's kind of sort of retired, David Irish. So David Ray and I have basically picked up the torch, and we're running with it. So David Ray and I actually met through David Irish at Dave's Herb Shop in Kansas City, which I now own his domain name, and hopefully maybe we'll get something going on our farm, an herb shop. I do aromatherapy specifically, but hopefully maybe we'll be getting an herb shop set up on our farm, and we'll be selling products again through davidanddavid.com or davesherbshop.com or my aromatherapy website, which is oilsoftheearth.com. I kind of put all that stuff on the back burner for now because we're still trying to get the farm off the ground. We're starting from scratch. So, when Blog Talk Radio cuts us off, once I get time to upload this, you'll be able to go to freefoodandmedicine.org to listen to the rest of the podcast. We're doing a dual recording. We got two podcasts recording at the same time. And I lost my train of thought. Marcus Rothkranz, of course. We used Free Food and Medicine as the name of our podcast because we love Marcus Rothkranz. David Ray was the first one of us three, of the three Davids, to be a forager, if you will. And he started learning David Irish, and David Irish started learning me, and then I started learning from David Ray on how to forage for wild edibles. Then I discovered Marcus Rothkranz. There's a bunch of others, so you can study anybody you like, but I don't know. I fell in love with Marcus Rothkranz. He's freaking amazing, and so is his wife, Kira. So we want to promote them as well, and obviously they wrote the book Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide, which is what I'm going to be reading out of, which is what we typically try to read out of. That's like my new Bible. Before Marcus Rothkranz came along, my Bible was Prescriptions for Natural Healing. I've been using that for over 20 years now, and I love that book. So my two favorite books is Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide and Prescriptions for Natural Healing. You should have both of those. Now, Marcus's website, you heard it on the intro, is freefoodandmedicine.com. If you want to give us credit for it, if you want to buy something and you want to give me a commission, you can go to freefoodandmedicine.net, and then we got all of our other stuff at freefoodandmedicine.org, and there you go. So today we're talking about tumas. What kinds of herbs that you can take for just about everything? I call them good side effects. A lot of times, these herbs, like say this list of herbs I'm about to read, are specifically good for tumors, but they have good side effects. They're good for other things. And Marcus Rothkranz, David Irish, and some other people don't like telling you, oh, take this herb for this problem, take this herb for this problem. They say you need to change your whole diet, and they're right, but you got to start somewhere. And I always tell people, start with three things. You start with salts, sugars, and flowers. And then pick an herb. Pick a disease. Pick a diagnosis. pick a pharmaceutical and find the alternatives for those and start there. And your good side effects from the herbs will actually start healing other parts of the body. But, you know, sugar, start with raw sugar, healthy sugar. Get rid of the white sugars. Cut all the fake sugars and white sugars out of your diet and start going with raw, natural, healthy sugars, herbal sweeteners, whatever you can stand, okay? Don't do anything you can't stand. You can be healthy and have it taste good, too. You might have to make some sacrifices, but for the most part, you can eat healthy and it can taste good. Just got to figure out how. And Marcus Rothkranz and Kira both have a lot of good recipes for that. So, secondly, is salt. Get raw salts, sea salt, like pink Himalayan salt. Get healthy salts. Replace your bad salts, like your white, you know, table salt, with healthy raw salts. There's things like kelp and other things that are salty that you can use as salt supplements, and they're healthy. And then flours. Get rid of the white flour. Go with whole grains and go with, you know, wheat. Try and stay away from GMO Monsanto wheat. But there's also alternatives like buckwheat and yellow dock that you could make your own wheat out of. And some other herbs, I'm not familiar with all of them, but there's a lot of wild edibles out there that you can make your own wheat out of, so you know you can replace those things. So the first thing for tumors is almonds. Almonds are good for also, I think it's ulcers or stomach acid or acid reflux. I can't remember which one. Might have to look it up. To, you know, drink almond milk. I can't drink regular white milk or whatever, cow's milk. So I drink almond's milk. Almond's milk is really good for a lot of things. Almonds are good for a lot of things. I don't have any teeth, so it's hard for me to eat almonds. So I eat almond peanut butter. I drink almond milk. I used to have like this nut grinder, and I would grind all of my different nuts up, and I would put them in a bottle, and then I'd just eat those because they're already somewhat chewed up, and then so it makes it easier for me to eat them. My parents didn't know much about nutrition growing up. They were sweetaholics, and I had bad teeth my whole life, and having bad teeth and having to get all my teeth removed around age 20 is what made me, one of the things that got me into alternative health. I was taking herbs for the pain and inflammation and for healing after my surgery of pulling all my teeth out, because the drugs they were giving me made me all loopy and stuff, and I couldn't work. I was all messed up. So I went to an herbologist, and he gave me all these herbs, and I started taking those instead. And I was already sort of starting to get into herbs at the time. I found a tape called Dead Doctors Don't Lie, so I was learning about minerals at the time. So I was dabbling into herbs too, but I got into that, between Dead Doctors Don't Lie and losing my teeth, I started getting into alternatives. Martial arts also helped me get into alternatives because I was studying the art of Denmark. And before they would teach you how to injure people, they teach you how to heal people. And I never basically went on to the next level. I stayed in herbology from there. And that's what launched me into herbology, was the art of Denmark. Because you can heal internal bleeding with herbs. That was like unheard of. I was like, what? No way. So I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do with herbs that people don't know about. And so that, those three things, I'm sure there's maybe something else that got me into herbs, you know, alternative health. But those three things are really what launched me into alternative medicine. Okay, so almonds are really good for you. Eat as many almonds as you can. Maybe not too much. But, you know, we got some almond trees. No, those are pecans. Pecans growing on our land. Grow an almond tree. Try it. Grow an almond tree if you have enough land. If not, just buy them. But try to buy, you know, healthy. As healthy as possible. Not everything has to be organic, but the more raw and organic you are, the healthier you're going to be. So, being a truck driver, I don't get to eat as raw and organic as possible. It gives me a challenge, but I do really well for being out here on the road and, you know, I haven't seen. So, I just try to eat right. I binge, but I try to eat right. I take a lot of herbs. I drink water. I drink juice. I drink tea. Usually I drink green tea. I've kind of been slacking off lately because I discovered this Gridlock Energy drink from Aldi's, and it's fairly healthy. I'm sure it's not perfect. But if you read the ingredients on Aldi's energy drink, it's actually pretty healthy. Again, it's not perfect. Anything that we get that's processed from the grocery store is going to have flaws. What's happening?
I'm avoiding cursing.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Yeah, my phone was dead. And my truck was dead, and all these cables are tangled and confused, and I would like to scream, but I'm on the radio, so I'm not screaming.
Yeah, we live off-grid, too, by the way. So we're working on an off-grid organic farm and retreat. We're not totally 100% off-grid, and we're not off-grid like, you know, trying to hide from the government per se off-grid. We want as little government activity in our beeswax as possible, which is wise. But, you know, we're not as off-grid as the Amish, but we actually right now the Amish got it better than we do. We're roughing it right now.
Right.
We're very primitive. We got cell phones. We got solar power. But not a lot of it. We got a lot of cell phones.
It's not so much, in my case, it's not so much that I want to be disconnected as I want to be disconnected from the centralized system. I want electricity. I want to connect with my neighbors. But I want to do this in systems that are as decentralized as possible.
And my deal is I just don't like being dependent on the system. I don't want to be at their, not beck and call, what's the right word?
You don't want to be dependent on them.
No, we should be independent. This is the land of independence. And we're very independent people.
One of my friends that I was just talking to, he was pointing out that I forget what the system is, but basically the national health insurance, if it folds under all of the places, we've got a friend who's now in he's in a nursing home,
right?
And they're not really taking the best of care of him, but at least it's some care, all right? It's care that we are unable to provide, which is a shame, because we should be able to provide that care and actually better. you know, but we don't have the decentralized systems in place that would allow us to do that. We need to. One of the things he was pointing out
is if the system collapses,
right, there'll be nothing. There'll be absolutely nothing with no fallbacks. All right? There'll be no fallbacks because we haven't established any fallbacks. And it looks like that system's getting ready to collapse. Now, it'll probably collapse in stages, and so we'll probably – did I just lose you? I think we just lost him. All right, so I'll monologue until he shows up. Hopefully he shows up soon because I'll run out of monologue. But anyway, when that system collapses, if it collapses, hopefully it collapses slowly and gradually so that we get a clue that we need to build replacements. All right? If we don't get a clue, there's going to be a lot of people who die because the nursing homes will not be able to take up the slack, because they won't have any funding, all right? It's sort of like, well, out in California a while back, I don't know if it's still true, it probably is, they threw all the mentally ill out on the street because they voted that they couldn't support that. I mean, that's not exactly what they voted, but what they basically said is they defunded all the mental health facilities, and so all these people who needed mental health ended up on the street because there wasn't any alternative system set up. So, yep, there he came right back. Good, you got back before I ran out of monologue. Okay. you know, I was talking about California's mental health care system. Basically, they have none. They voted that they were no longer going to support people on mental health. I'm not sure what their reasoning was, but they had a reason of some sort. They stopped funding it, so all the people who need mental health ended up on the street, and that's a shame because there was no alternative set up. So, you know, people got so used to the state doing it that people weren't doing it themselves, and so all these people ended up on the street, and, you know, basically that's the system now. They're on the street, you know. So all these people who need care and who are invalids and stuff like that, they're going to end up putting them out on the streets. They're going to have all these people who can't take care of themselves literally dying because we don't know how to do it ourselves because we've forgotten how because we don't do it.
You know, I want to rewind that a little bit. I lost signal, so I had to call back into both podcasts, and so we had dead air on Talk Radio.
Okay. All right, we left off with the fact that the healthcare system may become defunded in the near future. All right, that was the fear one of my friends had. Now, I don't know how suddenly it'll become defunded, but if it becomes defunded quickly enough, there will be no replacement. All right, and I was using California's mental health care system as an example. I forget the reason, but while I was still out there, this was about a decade ago, they had stopped funding mental health. And the results were you ended up with all these mentally ill people out on the streets homeless because there was nothing in place to take care of them. And so, you know, and we have forgotten how to care for each other. We've literally forgotten how. Even if we want to do it, we don't know how. All right?
And we've forgotten God's medicine, so we don't know how to fix that mental health properly. You can't fix everybody, maybe, but you can fix a lot of it.
Right. Well, you know, one way or another, I mean, if we give people sufficient support, they will be able to, even if they can't do it well, they'll be able to do something. And right, you know, as it stands, we have forgotten. We don't know how. We turn to government to get the solutions. And, you know, I'm not exactly against government, but I'm against centralized everything, including government.
Right.
Government should be decentralized. The head of government should be, well, the head of government should be God Almighty, and you should be second to him or her or it, however you want to call it. All right?
Whatever your God
and
is.
And then after that, your family, your community, your, for lack of a better term, your greater community, and then
your
region and whatever. It should spread out from you. All right?
Right.
And it's like we have it spreading out from somebody we elected to be our leader, and we're on the bottom of our current system, all right? So we do an authoritarian system, but we should be doing the reverse, all right? It should be a servant system where, yes, you're a servant, but you're the top servant, and you select, you get together with 10 other families in your area, and out of your 10 families, you select out of that the most charitable person to be the servant of your community. All right? And so basically, so back to the medicine thing. Okay. So, California, they basically dropped care for mental health, and the results are all the people ended on the street. So we're concerned that. I'm just going to repeat myself.
Yeah. Right. So, decentralization, not being dependent on the systems and having other systems in place. Also, organic, off-grid organic farm and retreat. We're trying to be as organic as possible. We're not going to be 100%, but, as much as we can. And it's a farm, and hopefully maybe it'll be a retreat someday where we can learn people.
90 seconds.
We can learn people how to duplicate what we've been doing. So, back to the book. I'm supposed to be talking about tumors. I already started off with almond oil, and I was about to go into, or not almond oil, almonds for tumors. And I was about to go into barberry. Barberry. I was not a fan of barberry until I discovered this book. David Ray and I, we trim trees and bushes and whatnot in the summers. And one of the most popular bushes that people have in front of their houses is barberry, and it's evil. However,
it is.
It's medicinal. So
if your only purpose for having is for decoration, you're an asshole.
Maybe not. But it's not the best. Well, I guess it's okay for decoration, but you should actually let it go to seed. Don't just trim it
10
back.
Seconds.
Don't keep trimming it back all the time. Let it go to seed, eat the fruits, and then trim it. The fruit is actually really good for you. I'm sure the leaves and the stems, if you grind them up. Well, the leaves don't have bars on them, I don't think. The stems.
Well, everything else is listed as poisonous, including the seeds.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Bad. Don't eat the seeds. Don't eat anything else, just the fruit. But the fruit surrounds a single seed on each one. So, it looks sort of like a reverse pimento. I don't know what it tastes like, but
we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Our bodies can't process the seeds. So swallowing the seed won't necessarily hurt you as long as you don't chew it up. And then you'll just poop the seed out and you'll be fine. But if you're worried about that even, there's different ways of juicing it or getting the seed out before you eat it. Yeah, barberry is really good for you, and it's good for tumors. It's good for a lot of things. I think it's good for the liver. I can't remember what all barberry is good for, but you can Google it. And or you can get Marcus Rothkranz's Free Food and Medicine book and look it up yourself. We've talked about Barberry on a previous podcast, so you can go back and listen to that as well. What's the next herb? I got the sun in my eyes.
Unfortunately, I'm charging my phones, and I didn't take the time to grab the book. So I'm sorry.
All right, hang on. I'll try and look at it. B E G O N I A. Begonias. Oh, begonias. He talks about that freaking in the intro. The begonias in your window.
Right.
Begonias. Look up begonias when you get a chance and find out what part of that is edible. And that's good for tumors as well. And it'd probably be good for cancer also. Anything that's good for tumors is probably good for cancers because most cancers start out as tumors. And not a tumor.
Where you find tumors, you'll often find viruses. And it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, which caused which. It's probably the condition that caused the tumor also caused the condition where you'll be susceptible to viruses. You know, it's probably neither one caused the other, but you often find the two together. And so if you can stop viruses, you often get rid of tumors and you often get rid of cancer. Just saying.
Right. We talked about viruses on the last podcast.
Right.
And we'll be talking about cancers on the next podcast next week.
Yeah, cancers, tumors, and viruses often go hand in hand. They may not be caused by each other, but they have a common cause. So.
Right. So most any herbs that are good for one of those three are probably good for the other two. Just like if you any herbs that are good for energy, weight loss, or libido, you know, problems in the bedroom, any of those herbs are good for cross use for the other one of the two or three issues. So I'm sure there's other ones that are conjunction like that, but that's one I remembered when you said that. The next herb is birch. That's a tree. I'm not sure what part of the birch you want to take for tumors, but you can look into that as well. And we will in the future. I don't know if we've talked about birch yet.
Only in the extent that you can use birch to make syrup.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got traffic.
Hello? Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got traffic. I got the sun in my eyes, I got traffic, and I'm trying to read this book while I'm driving and podcasting. Luckily, I have Bluetooth.
If you give me a couple of minutes, I'll go grab my book while you monologue.
I'll go on to something that I know what to talk about. Bistort is the next herb. Borage. I remember David talking about borage, but I don't remember what it is. Buckthorn. For the life of me, I can't remember what that is either. We'll have to look that up. Burdock. Now, burdock, well, most of these herbs grow wild all over the place. I can't remember what burdock is or even what it's good for, except for burdock is good for if you get boils. Burdock's really good for decreasing either the pus or the inflammation if you get boils. I had a co-driver one time that was really filthy nasty, and that's one of the reasons why I won't run team anymore. I'm a solo driver because, oh my God, this guy was just horrible. And I literally got boils from being in the truck with this guy. And I had to go find a Chinese herb doctor in the middle of Arizona to get a treatment. And burdock was one of them. White willow was another. And I can't remember the other stuff he put in that. But that was an interesting experience. Butternut. Everybody loves butternut.
Butternut squash?
Just butternut.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I don't know a lot about it either. So what's that butternut?
Let me see if I can find it. It's
okay.
On 284.
No, what's after butternut? We're not going to go into the specifics right now, because we're running out of time. We only have like maybe 10 minutes left on Blog Talk Radio before they cut us off.
Probably. It's a type of white walnut. It's another name for white walnut. That's butternut.
There you go.
Okay, I had it. We were on tumors. There it is. Wow, we got a long
tumors.
Way to go. Cabbage.
Cabbage. I could have stopped at that truck stop back there, but I didn't want to for whatever reason.
Calendula. Calendula was also for viruses.
There you go.
And I'm going to kill this one. It's canistil. I'm going to spell it. Canistel. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, see, we still have a lot to learn ourselves.
It's also on page 284. That's funny. Another name for it is egg fruit. We've talked about egg fruit.
Oh, yes, we did. But I don't remember what we learned. That is on one of our first podcasts. If you go all the way back, you can look up egg fruit. And we talked about that like last summer.
Cedar.
Cedar
is on our virus list.
Yes. Cedar and pine are good for a lot of things. One of the superfoods we should be using is pine pollen. So we want to grow some pine trees so that we can collect our own pine pollen. If you got the opportunity to do the same, you should. Go ahead.
Yep. Chunkapiedra, that was also for viruses.
And it was good for kidney stones.
Yes.
Which was also a previous podcast. We was talking about oxalic acid.
Yep. Chaparral,
okay.
Which has a star behind it.
Oh, that has a star behind it. We still haven't figured out what that means. Go ahead.
Yep. Cherry, which makes sense because if almonds are good for tumors, then cherry would also be good for tumors.
Like as in cherry tree cherries?
Yes. And, you know, that being the case, if almonds are good for tumors, I would suggest what you want to eat is the cherry pit.
Right. Or all of it.
Well, probably all of it, but the cherry pit probably has what you're looking for. I would have to go and read and see what Rothkrantz says. But here's a favorite, chickweed.
Chickweed. We love our chickweed.
Yep,
we got chickweed growing everywhere.
I've been growing lots of it in the greenhouse, and it's probably why I've been losing so much weight this winter. I think I've lost about 4 inches this winter, and it's not from starvation.
Right.
Chicory.
I love chicory. Chicory is also good for the heart.
And then cleavers again.
Cleavers, that's David's favorite.
Well, one of my favorites. I do like it. And then there's black currant.
We got those growing up. Well, we don't know if we have black currant, but we usually have like either gooseberries or currants growing on our land.
Yeah, I'm not sure that there really is a difference. They're at least very closely related. All right.
Right.
Dandelion.
Dandelion.
All right.
Miracle food.
So, anywhere you see chickweed, dandelion, then probably thistle and artichoke are going to be on that same list for the same properties. Those plants are very closely related. Echinacea.
Echinacea.
Echinacea. Endive.
Yeah, so don't kill your dandelions. Eat them. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, eat your dandelions. Eat the greens in your salad. And dig up the roots to make tea out of, or clean them up and chop them up thin and saute them. You know, cook them till they're tender. So
eat them tender, eat them sweet, eat them every day.
Yeah, if I can identify them in the wintertime, I'll dig them up and eat them. So you
right.
know. And around here, there's always a little bit of green on them, so it's not hard to find them. It's just they don't have very much green on them. It's just a small, teeny tiny rosetta because it's, the cold keeps killing them off. But they keep growing even in the wintertime.
Same with chickweed.
Go ahead.
Same with chickweed. Chickweed grows all fall, all winter, all spring, and then dies off in the summer.
Well, yeah, actually, chickweed grows well, whereas dandelion doesn't. But dandelion and thistle, I can often find them in the wintertime because thistle will have the dead stalk above the root, and the taller the stalk, the older the plant is. But there will always be this rosetta of thistles on the ground, even all through the winter, all right? And it only gets tall when spring comes around. It starts growing up, all right? But the stalk will die off, but the root stays alive. And so I'll find the root and I'll dig them up. And the old roots, if I can, I'll splice thin slices off them and put them in the stew. Basically I'll cut off whatever's tender enough for me to eat off of the root, and then I end up throwing the rest in the compost because it's wood.
You're putting the rest in the ground to grow more thistles.
Well, after I've butchered it, it kind of, whatever. But, yeah, you are right. If it will grow, I should stick it in the ground. Evening primrose. Bigwort. Garlic.
Garlic.
Right. And you know what? The more I've been reading, the more I've come to the conclusion you really need to grow your own garlic, and it's not hard. So
no,
if you're buying garlic,
grows itself.
Yeah, if you're buying
Thank you
garlic.
For using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
All right, now we're on the other side.
Yeah, now we're on the other side. So I'll repeat this. If you're buying your garlic, you should take half of your I forget what you call a clump of garlic.
Bulb.
All right. So if you buy a bulb of garlic, you should take half the cloves in there and use them for cooking and plant the other half. All right?
Right.
And keep doing that. Keep doing that until you've got so much garlic that you're growing that you no longer ever have to buy. And the reason I say that is because, I don't know how valid this is, but I just watched a documentary where they were listing foods that you shouldn't eat, and they were listing garlic as one of them. And the reason is because most of our garlic comes from overseas, and some of the practices overseas are, they'll call it organic, but what the organic substance that they grew them in was human manure.
And oh, right.
The garlic will come out of the ground all brown and ugly. And so in order to undo the brown and ugly part, they bleach it. And so you'll notice that your garlic has brown and gray streaks in it as a result of the bleaching process. All right? So they bleach it back to white so that you won't be displeased with the appearance. All right? But you'd be better off if it still had the manure on it. Not that that would be good, but it would be better than what they did.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Grapes. And that's got a star behind it.
I love wild grapes.
Right. Hazelnut and filberts. All right, apparently those are the same thing. All right. Hazelnut/filberts. Some Chinese named herb. It's He Shu Wu. Or He Shou Wu.
I'm somewhat familiar with that. I have some of that. All right, I think.
Can you pronounce it correctly?
No. Probably not.
All right. Well, tell us about it then.
Well, I don't know.
You don't remember.
David Irish sold it to me. Said I should drink a little bit of it every day. It's good for energy and stamina.
We're only halfway through the list. You want me to just fly through it?
It don't matter. We're on the other side.
Yeah, it's true. Heal All.
Heal All.
Heal All. Yep, that was listed last time, too.
That's Hydrangea. Good for everything.
Hydrangea. Wild. Japanese knotweed. I should be able to say this one because we've said it so many times and so many other things. Jiaogulan.
Oh, Jiaogulan. Yes.
Thank you.
I need to get some Jiaogulan. In fact, I still have that window open on my computer to order it, and I just haven't done it yet. I need to order Jiaogulan tea. That's better for you than green tea. So if you like green tea, you should switch and or also drink Jiaogulan tea. Go ahead.
Right. We're going to order plants or seeds or what?
Yes.
Okay. To answer that question, kelp. And here's one. There's lots of this growing from Arkansas on south, and they don't know what to do with it. Kudzu.
Kudzu. There we go.
Kudzu.
It's good for tumors.
It's good for tumors. Wild licorice.
Wild licorice. That'll also help you quit smoking if you have a smoking addiction and you're trying to quit.
Yep. Mugwort.
Mugwort. I got some of that.
Oak.
They got even a mugwort essential oil.
There you go. Yeah, you can't handle that, can you?
No, it gives me headaches. But
right.
It's supposed to be good for a lot of things.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's supposed to be good for headaches, and it gives you a headache.
Yeah, it's weird.
So your reaction to that is the same as my reaction to aspirin. Aspirin gives me a headache.
Well, yeah. If I blended it with other things, it may not. But I just can't. I can't do it straight.
Yep. Let's see. Oak. Oat grass, Oregon grape. Now, what's the difference between grape and Oregon grape?
Oregon grapes grow in Oregon.
Yeah, I think we better look that one up, but not right now. Parsley.
Parsley.
Here's another one. Paw de Arco.
Parayaco. That's good for a lot of things. That's a weed down in Florida.
Is it?
Yeah, they don't. It's an obnoxious Partiaco. Yeah, I believe so. Partiaco is an obnoxious weed in the southeast origin of the United Soviet States of America.
Right.
And it's good for peach, you.
Peach bark.
Who did
peach
what?
Peach bark. Peach bark.
Oh, peach
not
bark.
Not the peach. Not the pit, but the bark. All right?
Interesting.
And I would suggest that maybe the peach pit as well, because they listed almonds and cherries. Okay?
Right.
But if they're saying peach bark, then it's probably cherry bark as well that you're looking for. So those wild cherries you have.
Bark.
Say what? Yeah, and almond bark. Probably almond bark as well. Persimmon. Hello. There you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I'm back.
Persimmon. Red clover.
Hang on. I know what those are. Persimmons. Oh, yeah, we got a gazillion of those. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, we got
but...
the wild kind.
Yeah, we might try to grow some of the domesticated ones.
Yep, might have to grow those in a greenhouse. They might not survive our winters well. But the wild ones survive here quite well. But
you're
the
right.
Domestic ones might not. Red clover.
Red clover. Is that the purple flower red clover?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yep, I like to make a tea out of it, but it's also nice to eat just the flower straight. Sage.
Sage.
And sagebrush.
Sage is easy to grow.
If shepherd's
purse.
You
can't grow sage, you can't grow anything.
Right, sagebrush, sagebrush, and then shepherd's purse.
Shepherd's purse. I'm familiar with that, but I don't recall.
Yeah, yeah. Slippery elm. And I suspect what you want from slippery elm is the bark. Snake root. And spearmint.
Experiment.
Yep. And I have no idea what this is, but sweet everlasting.
No problem. Huh?
Say again?
Oh, it's experiment.
Experiment yes.
Might keep ticks away, too, if you got a tick problem. But, you know, if you can't have chickens, grow mint and or spearmint, and that might
or
help
both.
Keep your tick problem. Or do both, yeah.
Yep. Sweet everlasting. I have no idea what that is.
Me neither.
Thyme.
There you go.
And vervain with a star after it.
Vervain. That was also on the virus list.
Yep. You know, okay, so... I'm suspecting, because, you know, I'm looking over here, and this has nothing to do with what we're looking at, but vervain is also listed under teeth, mouth, and gums, but it doesn't have a star after it. Okay?
Interesting.
So I'm thinking the star is indicating that it's one of the better herbs for this particular condition. Just guessing.
That could be.
I'm looking to see if any place else has vervain within close. I don't see anything else, but that it did show up under listed there without a star. So, okay, so after vervain is violet. And wood betony. B-E-T-O-N-Y. Betony or betony. I'm not sure how you'd pronounce that.
Me neither.
And here's one of my favorites, yarrow.
Yarrow. My nephew likes yarrow, too. He loves it. He calls it a mint.
Yeah, I want to make a candy out of it. I want to make yarrow candy.
Yeah.
I love the flavor. I often make tea out of it in the morning. It gets me going. All right? It's It helps you to your blood to clot. So if you're on blood thinners, your doctor is not going to like you taking yarrow. However, if you collect the yarrow and powder it, let it dry and powder it. It powders real easy. If for any reason you have a cut that won't stop bleeding, put that powder into the wound. And it pretty much will stop the bleeding instantly. At the very least, if you got a major cut and you're bleeding and you can't stop the bleeding, throw some of this powder into the wound and then apply pressure. And this will help slow down the bleeding so you'll be able to proceed. All right. Yellow dock and yucca / Joshua. So I guess Joshua is another name for yucca.
Isn't that another name for Jesus?
It's pretty darn close. It's J-O-S-H-U-A.
Ah. Well,
all right.
Yeshua, it will also help you heal tumors probably too. But
well, I'm thinking it's another name for yucca since he hyphen or slashed it, whatever, you know.
Oh, okay. So he's like Yeshua / yucca? They're probably two different plants, but they're in the same family.
Well, okay, in the index it says also Joshua tree. All right, and that's on page 372. So I think it's two names for the same plant.
I like to eat the yucca flowers, but the whole plant is good for you. Roots, all the way up, the whole plant. I think the whole plant's edible, but if it's not the whole plant is edible, the whole plant is medicinal. You just got to learn what parts of the plant are good for what different things.
Okay. It's not the same plant, but it's closely related. And basically what he's saying is there's 50 different varieties of yucca, all right?
Right,
and the Joshua tree is one of those varieties. And it's different enough that people wouldn't identify it as being a yucca.
Right, and that's the one that's specifically good for tumors.
Well, yeah, he's saying yucca is good for tumors and the Joshua tree, which is it's basically the same plant. It's just one of the varieties. It's one of the species.
Okay. It's in the same family, like hemp and cannabis. They're in the same family, but they have two different names because they're radically different enough, but they're still very similar.
Yeah, basically the Joshua tree is a yucca that branches a whole lot and gets very tall. Whereas yucca rarely gets tall, and when it does, it doesn't branch a whole lot. So it doesn't really look like a tree.
Right, it looks like a shrub. Not even that.
And most yucca doesn't grow up tall. It tends to spread across the ground and send up little babies around its base. Whereas a Joshua tree grows up tall, and it sends its babies out as a sideline of the tall stem. And so it looks like branches. It gets way up off the ground. So it's just a different style of growth for a yucca, basically.
There you go.
All righty. How much time we got left? Do you want me to read about one of these?
We're out of time.
We're out of time. All right, folks. So we should probably begin from about the middle of the list next week before we start talking about cancers. Let's see, how long is the cancer list?
Pretty long.
Is it? Okay, never mind. Then we'll just do the cancer list.
All righty.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, we're just going to do the cancer list because we probably won't get We'll probably get about 2/3 through the cancer list.
we'll have to make sure we upload it and document what it is. But anyways, okay.
Alrighty.
So we'll call back in about 5 minutes for our ScrapGov Scrap podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical government. And, you can find all of our podcasts, past, present, and future, at ManicMondayPodcast.com. All right, so long.
Woohoo. All right, folks. Talk to you later.